Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
A lot of fun things to get to, including Mary-Kate Cabot insinuating the idea that we could be extending an offensive weapon at some point this offseason or some point in this season and keeping him around for a little bit longer. We'll give our take whether or not that's a good or bad decision. I feel like everybody was on the same page here. I feel like I'm in a slightly different spot. So we'll get into that coming up around 8:20. But right now, let's get to the most pressing thing said by our station's guests today. Let's do it with the station buzz. We spent the first hour with you guys talking Guardians baseball. Let's keep it going just a little bit further. Keith Law, longtime baseball writer, on today with Baskin and Phelps, and he talked about a couple of the prospects, whether or not Guardians fans will see them on the field this year.
I would expect both those guys to come up, and Brito is healthy. This team, we're way past the point of pushing off free agency. We're past any consideration of Super 2 arbitration status, if that even stays in the next CBA. So there's no service time related reason to keep these guys in the minors. It should all be about what is best for their development. And I think Cephas should be up with the lottery. Literally, can he just stay healthy? I think he would have been up a year ago if he'd been healthy. There's just been so many injuries, but we're not going to know until he gets there. He's going to have to get tested at the big league level. And if I'm Cleveland, I'm saying we want to know if any of these three guys are part of our lineup in 2026. And the only way to get any kind of read on that at this point is to call him up and give him 150 or so at best.
So, I mean, maybe I'm crazy. I mean, if you would have talked to Braden earlier in the show, he told you I had no idea what I'm talking about. They're not calling these guys up. Keith Law tends to disagree. And I think rightfully so. Like, I mean, you heard Keith talk about the fact that the Super 2 rule might not even be a thing by the time we get past the new CBA, which everybody knows at this point in baseball. Everybody expects the fact that we're heading towards a lockout when the new CBA is up anyway. But I don't know what your point right now if you're the Guardians, especially following the deadline, right? Leading up to it, we have three games left here, including tonight's that's delayed right now against the White Sox. But right now you're sitting in Serena going, okay, well, you're not going to make a move now before. They've made that very evident. You're not going to take a guy and put him in Chicago halfway through a series. So you're going to go into the All-Star break, at least not seeing a move made. I would expect you, honestly, at this point, to probably get through the deadline without seeing a significant move. I wouldn't be that surprised. I would be happy if they did, but I wouldn't be surprised if they didn't. But, all right, you got to see these guys at some point. Like, service time's not really affected at this rate. Like, you're going to have to pay these guys anyway. Coming up, and they're going to have the service time. You're either going to have to pay them halfway through the year, or they're waiting until the Super 2 rule next year, which you just can't do. With guys like DeLauder and guys like Cephas, you don't have that luxury. Fans will be besides themselves if they don't see Chase DeLauder until July of next year, or June of next year. That's far too long. There's a good chance that if DeLauder was healthy, he might have started the year on the Guardians roster. Like, he was playing well in spring training. He was around. He was playing well in the minors the year before when he was healthy. you're going to see him at some point this year, assuming that they sell off a couple of pieces. Again, we talked about for the first hour, much more likely that they do than they don't. You're just not waiting on anything anymore if you're the Guardians. If you think that there are guys in AAA right now, by the time you get through the deadline, that are going to help you more than it's going to actually hurt you, and it's going to help them, and they have to see the majors at some point, yeah, now would be the time, coming up here within the next few weeks, that you call them up and you let them go out and say, all right, here's some major league at-bats. You know what? You play awful? Sure, you might spend some time down in AAA again. Like, I think that's very realistic when we talk about a guy like CJ Kafis, who, while he's clobbering AAA pitching, there's a lot of questions around his swing and how great he's going to be. You might spend some more time in AAA, but you got to get guys reps at some point. Like, if they're going to be helpful for you in the long run, which I truthfully believe all three of the guys, Lauder, Kafis, Brito, will be players on this team that at least get a true shot. You're looking at the time to do it. And the Guardians are going to do it this season, unless you go 20-0 over the next 3 weeks and they actually make a run, which I wouldn't be holding my breath. All right, let's talk a little Browns. Miles Simmons of Pro Football Talk on with Nick and JP today on Afternoon Drive. And he talked about a conversation we actually had back on Tuesday, a Browns win range. I said, wouldn't it be surprising to see him win 2 or 10, and it's the widest I've ever seen. Miles gave his thoughts.
I don't think that they're a bad team. I think when you look at what the Browns have done in the past, right, when they have been who they should be under Kevin Stefanski, they're usually successful, right? And because of that, obviously we don't know what the quarterback situation is going to look like, but if Joe Flacco is starting and if the run game is good, then there's no reason why the defense shouldn't be demonstratively better, because they're not going to be on the field all the time because the offense isn't going 3 and out. Right? So I don't think that the Browns are going to be the worst team in the National Football League this year. I just don't. I would say they're probably more like a 6-7 win team.
Okay, so 6-7, which is, by the way, right where we put it. It's like, if I had to take my guess, it'd be 6-7. But it's just this idea that the Browns right now, according to Vegas, are projected to be the worst team in football. They have them under a win projection of teams like the Saints, under a win projection of teams like the Titans. Guys, there's no way that's possible. The Titans are devoid of talent. The Saints are really devoid of talent. There's no reason to be overly optimistic about those teams, other than the fact of, hey, might have their quarterback in the future, might have him sitting on the roster. Who knows if he plays to start the year, but you might have him both ways. I don't see how that is a better sell for a team being middle of the road to okay, instead of having an elite defense and a couple of okay offensive weapons to actually throw to, and guys like Judy and Joku, a decent offensive line, some young running backs. Like, hey, there's too much to be hopeful about this team that, unless it all fails, for them to be the worst team in football. It's not possible. Like, I don't see how you're worse than a handful of teams. But, I mean, it's up for it. I mean, there's a chance that if you're banking on heads landing at 7 different places for the Browns, that tails comes up in all 7 places and they're just downright bad. But we all know the odds for that aren't great. Like, you have to lose a lot of 50-50s there in a row. Eventually, if you keep guessing heads eventually comes up. So I imagine they hit on at least a couple of their pieces. And like Miles said, you're probably much closer to a 6-7 win team than you are being the worst team in football. That's where I look at it and go, okay, well, if you're projecting 6-7, I think by the time you get towards 9-10, you're like, oh, pleasant surprise, but are you stunned? Are you absolutely shocked if they do it? Probably not. You'd probably find a way. So we like when we hear that out of Miles Simmons. More Browns coming your way here with Mary Kay Cabot, Cleveland.com. We're going to listen to coming up at 8:20, but here she's commenting when she joined Ken and Anthony this morning on what the Browns are going to be looking for in the draft next year.
They will be a heavy 12 personnel, 2 tight end offense this season, and they don't need all that many receivers. There will be times when there will only be 1 receiver on the field, and plenty of times 2, but not 3 as many as there were last year. And I've always been of the mind that you can't have too many good receivers, so I would be out collecting as many as I could get. That's just how I kind of roll with the whole receiver piece, but I don't think they're necessarily looking at it like that, at least not this year.
Which would indicate they're probably looking for it more so when they find their quarterback. And it applies to the draft, like I said. I think it also applies to free agency. When you talk about guys like, well, Terry McLaurin and the Commanders are currently in a holdout, which we'll probably get into later as well. But if you're the Browns, I mean, 1, good receiver in Jerry Jeudy. I think a lot of people have trust in Jeudy after last year, and I think rightfully so. I think you have hope with Cedric Tillman, and you have young guys that you can assess this year and determine, all right, well, are they going to be guys we can, you know, at least keep in the mix? Are they going to be guys that we can safely walk away from? But if you see this year and you're like, all right, well, Tillman's not going to be somebody that we extend, and he's not going to be somebody that we want to keep along for a long time. Okay, then yeah, go get another receiver next year. Go get somebody to really bolster the offense and make this great. But there's no real reason to do it this year. Let you see what Tillman has. If he's not great, again, it's not like the team's winning a Super Bowl. So it doesn't have to be on top, the best that they've ever played. It doesn't have to be the best roster they've ever constructed. I think you have a promising receiver core with the 12 personnel that Mary Kay talks about, where you see one to two receivers most of the time. You're going to see two tight ends. And honestly, if we're talking about pass catching options, which I think is more of a realistic view this year, or really currently in the NFL, than just looking at wide receivers, David Njoku's pretty darn good. And you just drafted Harold Fannin, who's closer to a wide receiver than he is a blocking tight end. So you have options. You have guys to assess. It's going to be actually going through and making those assessments this year and then not going out and getting a 30-year-old wide receiver to help you out. Maybe targeting one in the draft and hopefully actually hitting on one of those picks finally. Or, all right, well, there's a young guy that's going to come available. Somebody like Chris Olave, who the Saints might not have a great reason to keep around. Or, I mean, other guys that are floating out there. Hey, there's bound to be some guys that leave their team, guys that are on expiring contracts that you can actually go out and probably hope to have multiple years of control on instead of just, well, let's have 1 year of Terry McLaurin and hope that it works and maybe you can extend him and then he's going to be 31. Yeah, probably not. All right, let's get to Jason Lloyd of The Athletic on today with Nick and JP on Afternoon Drive. And he chimed in talking about an Njoku conversation that we're going to get to, whether or not Njoku would take a pay cut coming up on a possible extension.
He's not taking a pay cut, I don't think. Like, he's 29 years old. It's funny, when he signed the original deal, I think a lot of people sort of looked at it as like an overpay, whether it's slight overpay or a steep overpay, depending on where you were. But I think a lot of people looked at that as like, what was he, like the fifth highest paid tight end, I think, at the time he signed the deal. Like, really? David Njoku's the fifth best tight end in the NFL? And it's a big year for him. If he goes out and, you know, they go back to the Stefanski-type offense and two tight ends, and we all know that story and how it goes, and he puts up good numbers, why would he take a pay cut? So I think they'll get something done, and I think he'll probably stay in the vicinity of where he's at in terms of tight end rankings.
So this is where it gets interesting on the David Njoku conversation, right? Like, I don't think the Browns want to let a guy as talented as he was a year ago, not talking about last season, but the season prior. I mean, he was a key weapon, and he was looking like one of the better tight ends in the National Football League. And then last year he had a fall off, and I think that's where Jason makes a really good point, is you look at the potential of extending Njoku, and this year is huge for him. Like, if you're going to actually prove yourself as a tight end, you're going to do it with the production this year. And the Browns are going to have to consider that extension, and David Njoku is going to have to consider that extension and where they're moving forward. You have a 30-year-old tight end, and you have to decide whether or not you can pay him. I think as you move to the Kevin Stefanski system, it becomes more and more relevant. The tight ends are such a big part of what they do, whereas last year the offense that they ran, well, they could have been great. You could have utilized one, at least one, to be effective like Njoku, but it took a lot of the emphasis off of him. It's going to be back on him this year. So he's going to have that opportunity, and you're going to need tight ends, and you're going to need multiple of them, which is where it's difficult to say, all right, well, how high can I pay him? I have a rookie that I'm really high on. What is the value on David Njoku? That's for the Browns to figure out. But he's not taking a pay cut. 29 years old, I mean, we've seen tight ends be effective. And I think especially when you look at the traits that Njoku has, it's not like he's a burner. It's not like he has to create space in order to be open and make catches. No, he's an athletic freak. He's going to go out there and he's going to moss people and he's going to go up above you. And he's a big body who's gotten much better in terms of blocking over the last few years. So he's going to be effective. He's going to be a guy that you can count on. It's not like if you were talking about somebody more of the build of Harrison Bryant, or I mean, honestly, even if you want to go less than that, look at a guy like Travis Kelce, it obviously more pertinent. If you look at a younger Travis Kelce, you pay him more like you pay a receiver than you do a guy that can do a lot of the both for you. Whereas then turn that around and George Kittle, yeah, that guy does both. And Njoku's trending much more towards a guy that does both and doesn't have as steep as a fall off. And Kelsey's obviously the oddball who didn't have a fall off either until like last year, the last 2 years. But that's just because, I mean, he's the best tight end maybe that we've ever seen play the game. Most of the receiving tight ends fall off faster. And Njoku's not one of those guys. He's still going to be good. All right, we're going to get more into it coming up here in about 5 minutes. That'll do it for the station buzz. But I want to keep this conversation going. 216-474-0092. Should David Njoku be extended by the Browns this offseason? And I think that's where the key part of the conversation comes in here. You're getting a deal done before the season.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Again, 216-474-0092. We'll talk about it at 8:20 on Overtime with Jake Volnick on The Fan. Jake Volnick with you guys here on Overtime. And it's time to talk a little David Njoku, right? We wrapped up the station buzz with it, but I want to get into it at least a little bit more because it's an interesting conversation, one that wasn't really on the table until this morning when Mary Kay talked about it. But it gets really, really interesting all of a sudden because I think that's a conversation that has to happen, that needs to happen. I just feel like almost everybody was on the same page today across the board. I don't know if I'm there. Kick things off. Let's listen to exactly what Mary Kay had to say about David Njoku and the chances of a new contract flying his way.
One they're going to have to look at would be David Njoku. And David is looking to rebound from a very uneven year last year. But I did ask Andrew Berry about that at the owners' meetings or somewhere about extending David. And he basically said that that's something that David wants. It's something the Browns want. And so I think we'll see something happen there at some point, not necessarily in training camp or before the season, but I think it's something that both sides want to do. So you can watch for that over the coming months, I would think.
So I like the timeline sort of thrown out by Mary Kay, right? Because I think if we talk about before the season, it definitely changes where I stand. Like, if we talk about signing David Njoku before the season starts off, I mean, if I'm being entirely honest, I hate it. Like, I don't like the idea. Unless the what's happening is he's taking a pay cut and going off of last year's production, which I know David Njoku is far too smart to actually make that decision and be like, oh yeah, last year was the tight end that I am. So he's going to be going off of more 2 years ago production and saying, that's the type of player that I am. And that's how you're going to pay me. I can't bank on David Njoku at 29 years old, where he's soon to be 30, continuously being that guy when I've really only seen it in his career. I mean, what? 2 years is really the threshold on where he's been really, really good. I mean, everything outside of that has been 505 yards or less, except for 2018, and then there was a massive gap. But, like, I can't be banking on you to be an 800-yard receiver, a 5-plus touchdown guy every single year. And he was fine last year. He just wasn't as good as he was the year prior. And the drop sort of came back to bite him a little bit, which was obviously a main thing earlier in his career. But, yeah, I'm going to need you to be closer to the 600 to 800-yard range. You're going to have to be putting up big touchdown numbers. You're going to have to be a legitimate red zone threat. So, yeah, sure, if it's a pay cut, absolutely, sign him. But if not, I wouldn't be doing that. And as we look as a whole, it's really difficult to assess, do I want to get David Njoku a contract extension or not? Because he's been good. I'm not going to go down the route and say that he hasn't. But if you're running the offense that you ran last year, I think it'd be crazy to extend David Njoku and pay him as a top tight end in the NFL. Because he just wasn't that. Like, he was not among the top five. He was probably closer to a top 10 tight end, and probably closer to 10 last year. Yeah, that's not enough of a production. You're a good blocker now. You're not a great blocker. I don't think that you're really a great receiving tight end at this point either. You're a good receiving tight end. He's solid. I think he has the potential, and not from growing, but more so in this offense, to be a great tight end. But it's not this no-brainer move has to get done. I think you also take a look at the tight ends coming up, and you say, all right, well, can I get somebody that kind of fills half his role to be able to sit there? And I think you have to wait for part of this year to plan out. Because tight ends are really hard to assess early on in their career. But if Harold Fannin Jr. is just an absolute, I mean, monster to start his career, right? And he's looking like he's going to be a top-tier tight end, I don't know that I'm just paying David Njoku crazy money. And I'm also not paying crazy money to David Njoku on a long-term extension. Like, do I want to sign David Njoku for 4 years? Hey, that would certainly be my max. I'm not going farther than 4 years on an extension. Not that I think anybody would actually be offering more than four, but I'd be concerned about that fourth year. If I'm going to pay it, I'd definitely be front-loading it and giving me an option out, because there's not a real reason not to. I mean, once you get towards that 33, you don't know what fall off is coming. He's dealt with injuries, both off the field where he's gone through, you know, random injuries where he had the burns. He's also gone through, you know, muscle injuries that tend to be reoccurring. I just don't know how much faith I can throw into that and throw money his way. I don't think it's a bad thing, but I'm being hesitant if I'm the Browns. I'm not dying to get David Njoku on a contract extension immediately, but I'm also not leaving it up to the fact of, all right, well, I'm okay if he walks. Like, you have to toe this very fine line in my eyes of, let's see some of what David Njoku is, but make sure that he's still committed to being a Cleveland Brown. And if there's one guy, by the way, who has been committed to being a Cleveland Brown, it has been David Njoku. Like, he was not happy at points last year. He definitely showed the fact that he was angry, but he also hasn't wavered from wanting the Browns to be successful and wanting to play in Cleveland. Let's not forget this offseason, who was the guy lobbying for Miles to come back publicly on Radio Row at the Super Bowl? That was David Njoku walking around with the shirt off. Being like, Miles, come back. Pops a couple pecs. Like, I just, you have to go through and say, all right, well, that's a guy who wants to be here. If you're talking about locker room fit and a guy who's going to at least go to bat for the team and hopefully be a positive voice in the locker room, as much of a wild card as he is, anytime they talk to him, like, listen, if we have a David Njoku interview, right, if you're listening to the station following a Browns game, you listen to the post game with Jeff, and you're like, huh, the David Njoku interview is really short. Why is it only like 30 seconds? It's probably because it was 2 minutes, and a minute and a half had to get cut out because he's a wild card. I mean, you never know what's going to come out of his mouth, and you're like, oh, can't have that, got to cut that. Like, that's the reality of it with him. But I think that the players around him, I've never gotten the indication that they don't like him. And right now, getting guys to buy in is a big thing. But I just think everybody's very gung-ho right now, ready to go say, yeah, absolutely, this is a great move for the Browns. I think I'm a little more hesitant than that. 216-474-0092. Should David Njoku be extended? And I think I'd go as far to say, push that conversation into prior to the season starting or very early on. Mike is in Rocky River. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, how's it going?
It's going good, man. How about you?
Good. I'm listening to this, and I just have a couple things that I'd like to say. You put David Njoku on a lot of other teams, and he's a stud. I just think the quarterback play has been horrendous for him. Mm-hmm. And I think he's a stud. I would keep him if I were the Browns. I mean, he has not gotten a fair shake because of the quarterback play for years. And that's my take. You put him in another offense, he's a stud. That's it.
And, Mike, I honestly think that where you're at right now is probably closer to where the Browns are, and I appreciate the call. I think that, I mean, when they signed him to a contract the first time, they banked on that. Like, he was not very good early on in his career. It was not like he was out there just absolutely lighting it up. It was more so they banked on the fact of we're going to pay him as a top X tight end. I think he was like a top five tight end at the point that he got paid, somewhere around there. And you banked on, hey, he's going to be good. And the progression's here. You just have to wait for it to actually all play out. I think it's also sort of difficult to look at. Like one of the years that he was playing where Baker was here, he was hurt. And then he had some up and down years. And then by the time that Baker was sort of out, were the times that, all right, well, then David Njoku kind of popped. It is when you are playing with less than adequate quarterback play, as you mentioned, which I think makes that conversation even more interesting. It's like, okay, well, he had a quote-unquote good quarterback in Baker, the best one that we've seen in a boatload of years. But that was a time where he was worse, but he was also younger. It feels like he stepped in and got into his role, and you haven't been able to see him with good quarterback play. And if we're being honest, this year probably isn't going to show you more good quarterback play that he's going to be able to actually be subject to and have in front of him where he can get better and show that, hey, here's what I look like with a good quarterback. You're going to have to kind of feel that one out. You're going to have to play with the idea of, all right, well, what is he doing between the margins, right? Not just in the stat sheet. How is he doing on a block in front? Is he open? Is he making contested catches when the ball placement is there? And I think part of that and looking to it is, all right, well, in 2023, you can go look at David Njoku, and that was his best year, and that was probably the most competent quarterback play we've gotten since Baker left, because you had games with Deshaun where, well, quite frankly, he started to look a little bit better. I mean, there were a couple of games where Deshaun actually looked solid, and that was the one year where it happened. And then you had Flacco, who obviously at least was putting up the numbers to make it look worth your while. And a lot of the big games that came from Njoku came without Deshaun. It was more the, hey, Flacco's here. This is the better quarterback play that we've seen over the last years when he's been able to step into his own. Like the last years that he ended up playing in 2023, the last games, excuse me, he had 7 catches for 93 yards in the playoff loss. He went through and he had multiple 100-yard games against both the Bears and the Jets towards the end of the year. And several times went 6-7 catches in the games that, again, it was Joe playing. His best games were alongside competent quarterback play, but also a very high-volume pass, just in offense in general. So there's just so many factors that go into it. I just don't know how you assess this year, is it going to be worth it, is it not, unless you roll with Joe. Right, and as much as I don't want this to be turned into a quarterback conversation, it's not entirely. I think it is partially dependent on the quarterback. If you go with Joe, I think you can use the early season production to say, all right, what is David Njoku? If you go with somebody like Kenny or one of the rookies, I'm not saying you can't, but it's certainly more up in the air. Right, and you have a couple of mouths to feed and guys that you want to assess. Like, assessment is not done on Jerry Jeudy. He had a good year. Also was watching Jameis Winston throw 50 passes a game. I definitely have assessment needed for a run game. Again, Njoku himself, Cedric Tillman, Like, everything basically needs to be assessed on what can they do, and you're going to have to do that with Njoku as well. I think that's easiest when you turn it to Joe. I think that becomes a lot more difficult when you turn it over to anybody else and you say, okay, what can you actually show me? But if you're banking on athleticism like Mike, and you're banking on, hey, what would he look like on other offenses, I think that's what makes it, all right, well, yeah, David can be great. Like, if he was on another team, I truthfully do think over the last few years he would have had better stats. He would have been a more productive tight end. But you're banking on that fact, and also banking on the fact that, hey, we're going to extend him, and, I mean, he could go look better on somewhere else. I think that's part of the conversation, too. When you talk extension, right alongside of it, it doesn't just stay as, hey, you have to extend him. If you're not going to, it also turns into, would you consider trading this guy? Is he somebody that's actually valuable? If I can move off of him, can I get solid draft picks back for him? And tight ends are not pieces that are commonly traded among like the top players. We don't have a good gauge on what the value of a top-tier tight end is if another team views him that way. But I think that's a consideration as well. The only problem you run into is it's not like you have the next guy up. It's a lot easier to look at it and say, all right, well, can I trade Kenny Pickett knowing that I have Joe Flacco on a first-round pick for a quarterback? Yeah, you definitely could. If it was just like Kenny and Dylan Gabriel, I might be a little more hesitant to trade Kenny Pickett. Might not be so active on doing that. I'm like, oh, man, you're probably going to want to keep him around. It's all about what he's actually in the room right now or what you think you can get in the next draft. I don't know a ton about the tight ends. If I had to take a guess, though, I'm going to guess that Tyler Warren and Colston Loveland aren't sitting around waiting to be drafted 2 years in a row. I would think the tight ends are less. It pushes you closer to extending him. But I think the trade conversation is interesting. 216-474-0092. So you have your option. Would you rather trade David Njoku and see what you can get for him, or would you be better off extending him? We'll get into that a little bit more coming up here in about 5 minutes. 216-474-0092, right here with you guys on The Fan. I mean, again, he was one of the guys that was the key supporters for basically keeping the Browns competitive. Like, hey, Miles, come back. We're going to do something. We're going to do something great. I also think part of the conversation, right, and I threw out to guys, and still I am, at 216-474-0092, would you rather extend David Njoku or trade him? I would consider the trade. Like, it's something that I think is worth throwing out there, but I also don't think that it's really in the Browns' mind, and for one key reason. The Browns feel that they're on a retool, right? Instead of if you're going through a rebuild, it would make a ton of sense to just scrap David Njoku and say, all right, let's see what we can get for him, see if we can get something back later on that helps build this team up in the future. But when you feel like you're on this 1 to 2 year retool, you kind of want to keep the guys who are productive now around. Like, if you think that, even if it's not this year, if you're going into 2026 and you're going to be good, a 30-year-old tight end is, I don't even think, really worrisome at this point. Like, but you're getting to the older age. But if you think you're going to be competitive and think that you're going for a playoff spot and potentially a Super Bowl within the next couple of years, then yeah, you're probably going to want David Njoku around. Like, that's a guy that you're just not going to find anywhere else. And he was a former first-round pick. One that worked out and has been of value for you. So I don't think that that's really something that they want to give up. But, I mean, it's all about really where you're pushing towards and what your goals are. And it's why, while I would sit there and consider trading away David Njoku, because I don't know how close this team really is to getting back to competitive and whether or not that rebuilding was their right route, you got to nail the quarterback. That's going to be a conversation for 2026. Probably, more likely than not, and actually nailing it. If you don't want to go down the rebuild route, which they've clearly indicated they don't, I just don't see how you let Njoku basically up and walk away for free or even trying to get something back for him. You need two tight ends, and you definitely don't have another one on this roster. Even if you're consider trading him at some point this season, and even if it was with next season, well, your second best option right now of guys who are available is, I think, Blake Whitehart. It's like, all right, Harold Fannin's there, and then Blake Whitehart. He had a touchdown last year, but that's about the only thing he was noted for. You don't really have much else in the bag for you. It's not like, again, if you would have had to, and you had like Jordan Akins on the roster and had drafted a guy like Harold Fannin, you might consider, okay, well, can we make it work with somebody like Akins or even a different type of tight end? Like you made it work with Harrison Bryant while Baker was here, and Harrison Bryant's far from a very productive tight end. Like he has not been good. He's bounced around and he went to Vegas and, well, they drafted Michael Mayer and then Brock Bauer. So you tell me how much they value a guy like that. I would tell you not very much. But the Browns run the offense that needs it.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
So, yeah, well, it's something I consider. I think the Browns ultimately, like you hear Mary Kay talk about it, you hear Miles Simmons talk about it, Jason Lloyd talked about it. Everybody has basically gone down the route of like, yeah, it makes a ton of sense. And because they think it really does. Like, I don't see how they're not going to figure this out. I just really hope Njoku's back in producing, because if not, oh, you've just dug yourself deeper in the financial hole of trying to make things work while you did have, you know, the answer to a potential tight end one also sitting on your roster. Jack, you extended David Njoku?
In this Kevin Stefanski scheme, yes, because it needs two tight ends, and that if you had a tight end like David Njoku with Harold Fannin, he can mentor Harold Fannin. It's perfect. And I also want David Njoku to retire as a Cleveland Brown.
Yeah, I would take that
I
very happily.
I felt that way about Nick Chubb, too, but...
Well, things didn't exactly play out that great.
Didn't play out that way. So I hope it does play out that way for David Njoku. But I agree. I think he needs to play out this, like, prove it again this season.
I think the other thing that gets interesting here, and obviously this wouldn't play into Andrew Berry's idea, if he has full freedom on who he wants to extend, who he doesn't, which you definitely have to get clearance at some point with Jimmy Haslam, because the guy forks up money to make contracts work better, and I'm sure that Berry's like, well, I mean, if we want financial flexibility, I mean, Jimmy, you got a check there. You got a little signature right there on the back. Thank you very much. I know, extra zero. He's getting paid good. But I think the other interesting conversation, especially if you're Jimmy Haslam, also comes back to how much faith you have in Stefanski in the offense, right? Because we talk about, oh, I need two tight ends to work Kevin Stefanski's offense. Yes, absolutely. We're talking about extending Njoku for more than a year, 2 years. Like, you're probably talking more to 3-4 years or even two. If Kevin's not going to be around, you could lean into, especially if we're talking about, you know, once the season has started, if you saw something on Harold Fannin, do I really need two tight ends for the next coach that I bring in? The likely answer to that is probably not. Like, most coaches don't need two very capable tight ends. You see most teams work with one good tight end and a guy that's a backup that's like, oh, I mean, the Chiefs are doing great with Noah Gray. Okay, and Noah Gray is a fine tight end, but it's not like anybody's clamoring to get their hands on him to make him the number one tight end on the roster. But that's how you more operate. It's like, okay, well, you get a solid backup and you're fine. Or you just don't have a backup and you run your tight end into the ground and you take him off the field when you don't want to run one, and that sometimes works too. I think it does boil down to sort of where Kevin's at, because we got the odds for coaches most likely to be fired next. And it was talked about yesterday while we were riding roller coasters, but the record of the station touched on it. It was fourth. Kevin is the fourth most likely quarterback, according to Vegas, to be fired first. Like, that's high. Hey, Mary Kay would disagree. I would tend to disagree, because I don't think he gets fired midseason. I think there's other coaches on the chopping block who absolutely could. But it should tell you that Vegas doesn't think that Kevin's job is all that secure. No matter what, you know, Jimmy has come out and said, basically backing him and Andrew Berry, they aren't buying it. They're saying there's still a decent shot that he could be let go. And I think when you consider that, it makes the conversation around Njoku much more difficult from a Jimmy Haslam perspective. Because you're going to have to get the sign off. It's not just going to be Berry being like, text to Andrew, just extended Njoku. Not going to happen. It's going to have to clear through Jimmy. And it is going to boil down, do I trust Kevin Stefanski? Do I want him to be my coach? And I think that's also part of what plays into, all right, well, you're going to see it part of the year in. David Njoku, as Jackson said, as I have said, I want to see him sort of display at least in some capacity this year. I can do it again. I think there's a chance Jimmy's also looking at this and looking at Kevin and saying, I need to say the same thing out of you. Like, I need you to go and prove to me again that you can build a winning team and you can coach a team to be, if nothing else, more competent than we think they are. So I think those two almost go hand in hand. And it makes a much more convoluted situation and conversation to try to have, knowing what happens with Kevin probably ties somewhat potentially into what happens with David too. 216-474-0092. Are you better off trading or extending David Njoku? Tom is in Shaker Heights. What's going on, Tom?
Great. I'm definitely Thomas, by the way. I'm definitely keeping Njoku. I'm struggling with this this preseason negativity around the Browns. I get it, you know, the Browns all negativity. I heard Ken Carmen on the radio say that they're already thinking about drafting the quarterback. And I'm like, dude, come on, I really want to see how this year play out. I just don't want to give up on everything so early. I don't want to get rid of Njoku. I don't want to get rid of Kevin Stefanski, because those have been good pieces for us over the past few years. And Kevin Stefanski, by the way, firing Kevin Stefanski would be a bad idea, because he made the playoffs with four different quarterbacks 2 years ago and had the second best record in the AFC. That holds weight to me personally. I just don't think getting rid of good coaches and good players is the way to build a winning football team. I just don't think that's the direction we got to go as a city. I know we always want to push people out of town, but sometimes you got to stop and think for a second. Is this a good idea? And it's not. Let's just keep both of them, honestly.
And Thomas, we agree a lot on the points of, like, Kevin. Like, I think Kevin's been really good here. I don't think that he should be thrown out after this year, because I think this year, it's not like you're going to be a winning football team, more likely than not. You're going to have a losing record. I think Kevin should get a little bit of grace if you're supposedly giving grace for the Deshaun thing. I would like to see David here, but it does. It comes down to what Jimmy thinks. Like, you and I sit here and say, we still think Kevin's a good coach. I think a lot of people in town still think Kevin's a good coach. There's a lot of people who don't. But it's ultimately, does Jimmy feel that way? And he said publicly that he does. We also know that owners can say a lot of things publicly and then switch their mind very quickly and decide, you know what, I don't feel so good about him. Let me go a different direction.
Real quick, can I ask you a quick question? All right, so I was listening to the radio this morning, and Ken Carmer and Anthony Lyman said that they're already looking at the quarterbacks for next year, because they're probably going to draft the quarterback for next year. Do you think it's a little premature and unfair to be talking about the quarterbacks in next year's draft before we even give any one of these kids a chance.
So I think this is a really interesting part. Like I touched on it a couple of weeks ago, whether or not they're sort of focused on quarterback in 2025 or already moving on to 2026. I think drafting two quarterbacks has indicated that you at least care about this season. Like, in that you're at least giving the guys here a somewhat of a chance. And then obviously the first round pick next year is there if you decide that you want to or have to use it in order to get your quarterback of the future. I don't think, though, that if you say the Browns are looking at quarterbacks in 2026, that it's premature, because I think every team right now, the Kansas City Chiefs are probably looking at quarterbacks in 2026. Are they going to draft one in the first round? No, absolutely not. But if something happened to Patrick Mahomes, or they're assessing guys later on in the draft that could potentially be his backup, like, all teams are looking at them, and the Browns would be dumb right now to not be looking at 2026 quarterbacks, because you want to make sure you have your full year of evaluation on those guys and make sure that you have a full understanding of what they are, just in case you do have to draft one.
I get it. But I still think that you should. My plan is always start Joe Flacco for 6 weeks and then see what you got with one of these rookies after those 6 weeks are up, and then hopefully we use a 2 first-round picks to build our team up. That's the dream. Thank you, sir. You have one for tonight.
You too, Thomas. Always appreciate the call, man. I just, like, yeah, if you're talking about quarterbacks, I mean, yeah, you got to look, but it's not necessarily a, we're looking at these guys because we're already planning on drafting one. I just think you have to do your homework. But I think the Kevin Stefanski conversation is really interesting. Like, if Vegas thinks that he's potentially gone, Vegas tends to know better. Not always, but most of the time has a pretty good feel on things. Not saying they talk to Jimmy, but they also know how owners operate, as do we. I would lean towards giving him the extension. I just don't know what Jimmy's thinking. And it's going to boil down to that. Also, show me a little something this season first. Show me that I'm paying you for a good reason. And that last year's slight fall off was because, well, who the hell was throwing you the ball? 216-474-0092. Get a grip, as it always does, at 9 o'clock. Coming your way next on Overtime with Jake Volnick on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes, subject to driver availability. More terms apply.